Good morning and welcome to the Pivot Ship to Head Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw. It is two masterminds in one. So thank you for choosing to join it. You're in the what we call the pre-show right now, which is where we talk about something that's come up inside the Pivot Ship to Head Facebook group, and we're going to do that today. Then the second half of the call, starting at about 8 o'clock Eastern, if you're joining us live, is about something that's on my mind, got me wound up. Well, what we're doing on the second half of the call today is looking at this report that came out that basically every agent in every part of the country said that buyers are gaining leverage in today's market. And so the second half of the call, here in about 20 minutes, we are going to talk about pricing strategy for a seller when the buyer is the one with leverage. So we're going to talk about that. But before we do that, I want to have this, I think, is actually going to be a really good conversation. How do you know my friend Ashley Lund from San Diego? She's an OP there. She's a KWU instructor. She teaches career visioning and has been around KW a long time, is an important mentor of mine and someone who I truly, absolutely adore and appreciate. And when she speaks, I listen. She's not someone who runs her mouth all the time. She puts a lot of thought and consideration into something when she's going to share. And I woke up this morning to this from Ashley. She said, "Some of the most talented, experienced, and professional real estate agents I know are struggling right now. We've hit 3+ years of a real estate industry recession, and my heart breaks for the good people being broken by a years-long recession in our industry. And there's only one way out of that slide, and any individual professional can get out. And you all know what it is. If you're a professional in real estate and are considering a job, take some time to consider what your income would look like if you showed up for 8 hours a day as a salesperson for your real estate company. Let's say you're considering a salary of $150,000, which would, by the way, be a phenomenal opportunity right now. Would that honestly take you 160 hours a month to create your own real estate sales business?" She says, "Being very conservative, a net of $150,000 in income, including splits, taxes, and expenses, would equate to about 9 sales a year in San Diego." That's where she is. Now, sidebar, I did the math for outside of San Diego. San Diego has a higher average sale price than the nation median. So I took the median average sale price in the US and did it. And nearly every single one of you could make $150,000 on fewer than 20 transactions. Almost all of you could make $150,000 net income on fewer than 20 transactions. Back to what Ashley said, a focused and consistent 40-hour work week would easily get you there. It would actually get you at least 5 times that income. The key is focused and consistent. If you're willing to do that for someone else in a job, why wouldn't you do it for you? And I just added to it when I posted it in Pivot this morning. I said the opportunity is there if you put in the hours focused on the right tasks. That just because there is less opportunity doesn't mean the opportunity for you is less. Whatever the number is that you need to hit for your goal will be sold today in your market. Period. Go pull the MLS. I don't care what your goal is, it'll be sold today in your market. But ultimately, you are the one who has to decide to do the right work at the right time. And so here's what I want to know from you. That's what I added to Ashley's post. Here's what I want to know from you. What's the right work at the right time? And how are you showing up to do it? I get that it's challenging. There's no doubt. And by the way, we're in burnout season, which is why next Wednesday I'm doing a Wednesday webinar on burnout is not a strategy. That's next Wednesday's Wednesday webinar. Wednesday is a great day for a Wednesday webinar. But I want to know from you, how are you being focused on the right task at the right time? Because there is enough opportunity for you. Somebody said in the comments, there's not enough opportunity for everybody, James. And I said, I know, but I'm not worried about everybody. I'm worried about me hitting my goal. And you'd be worried about you hitting yours. There is enough for you, but you've got to do the right tasks in the right way at the right time. Jessstar, you put your hand up immediately when I talked about Ashley this morning. You get the first word. Good morning, Jessica.
Hey, friend. I absolutely adore Ashley. I love all her insights. If you don't follow her, if you're not friends with her, make sure you do because she is just so down to earth, so transparent, and what she says is the truth. Like, How many of us just wing it and just think we're living our day to day and we're working hard, but we're really not? Like, we're not holding ourselves accountable to those activities. Even the way that Brittany McAllister gamified everything to make it easy on us, just make it a game. Stop looking at what anyone else is doing. Don't give a crap about what anybody else is doing, because guess what? None of those people are going to pay your bills. So I honestly don't care who's number one. It doesn't matter to me because they're not paying my bills. They're not building our net worth. They're not building our passive income. They're not the ones that are able to sit at the kids' baseball games. I am. And they're not going to be the ones that are sitting at my bedside when I am passing away. So in the end, I need to be the one focusing on my own activities. I do not focus on anyone else's. You can ask me who's number one. I don't give a crap. I don't look at it. And truly, you can ask me all of that. I don't know. So I focus on what I'm doing every single day. And like I've said to you repeatedly, one a day and I can play. So if that is my metric, and maybe it's a super simple metric, but if I hit that one, I go play. And I know that sounds silly, but life by design is really important to me. So if it takes me all day to make that appointment, then it's going to take me all day, but I'm going to make that one appointment regardless because that is my standard. Period. So, what's your standard is number one. If your standard is, hey, you know what? I'm going to show up for an hour or two and do my best, but if I don't set an appointment, it doesn't really matter. I showed up for 2 hours. Or is your standard, I'm going to treat this like a 40-hour job. If somebody else was paying me $150,000 a year, I'd have to be there 40 hours a week, right? Well, why don't you act like that? Because you'd have to be there, period, if somebody else was clocking in your paycheck. That's Ashley's whole point. So we're not treating ourselves like that, and we're not valuing our priorities, our family, and everything else, but we're complaining about the market. And complaining gets us nowhere, and we're watching everybody else. There is tons of business in the market. You don't have business when you're sitting at your desk and you're picking up the phone and nobody's answering. Great, go to the coffee shop, sit there, go buy someone a coffee, start talking to your neighbors. People don't talk to the neighbors. They don't start connecting. They don't start knowing people. It's real simple to pick up business. All you got to do is care and talk to people. I know it's like a profound concept here, but just care about people. Talk to them and ask them how you can help them. Stop coming at them with commission breath. Sorry, I feel like I'm on my high horse here, but if it's like, hey, James, you know what? I know you kept telling me that your AC unit is older than dirt, but I've got these really great heating and air guys I'd love to connect you with. And by the way, those heating and air guys, I've given them so much business that when they call to use somebody for real estate, it's me. So I help them, they help me, I help you. You're not selling your house right now, but guess what? You're probably going to think of me when you go to sell your house, right? Because I cared about your AC unit. I still remember that James's AC unit is older than dirt.
It
And
is.
am I right, James?
The downstairs one is original
Right.
20 years. Yep.
See? And you still haven't done it. You
Yeah.
still should call my
Because
guy.
it still works.
There's
Listen,
that.
this is how you become a top five agent in the entire state for any brand,
Just
by paying
saying.
attention to stuff like that. Let me unpack two things Jess just gave you, and then we could go probably. We could just be done and go home. I can go take a walk in
Sorry.
Central Park because she wrapped it up for us. We're not going to do that. This is one to go back and listen to on the podcast version, y'all, so you can take notes. Two things Jess said. Number one, the tracker. If you're a member of the Inspire Collective, that's our membership community. I think Jess gave you the secret is that you print out the world famous tracker that we got from Brittany McAllister. Brittany McAllister, who sold 72 homes in a year that her daughter was in the NICU for 9 months. And
Yep.
she sold 72 homes because she followed her tracking system. She allowed us to adapt it and share it with everybody.
Wait, James, she
Yeah.
probably also wasn't watching what Jess Starr did or what somebody else in
She
her
didn't give
market
a
did because
flip.
her
She did
why
not have
was so
time for
big.
that. She did not have
Right?
time for that. Yeah. I don't know. She may even be on, but a lot of times she's on. She's not. But the bottom line is, Inspire members, if you use the tracker 2 days a week, you paid for your Inspire membership for the rest of your life. So I would go get the tracker, and it's really easy to find because if you go into the portal and on the membership hub, there's a thing under featured that says Welcome to Inspire, where I link to all the things that are really important. And that's one of the things I link to. And the tracker is about daily wins, right? It's 30 points a day. Just get as close to 30 points a day that you can. You'll be in good shape. Number two, Jess said, I don't know if you heard her. She said, stop winging it. Stop winging it. Now I'm going to do day two of three in a row with Phil Jones today, our buddy Phil M. Jones, exactly what to say. And he said something yesterday that I thought, oh, yeah. Boy, that was a personal attack. That was a personal attack on me. He said, "One of the greatest expenses of high achievers is our experience. That we begin to rely on our experience and not our preparation." We put, in other words, we put just, we fall back to the experience and don't prep. And what I thought about was this call. There are days, like today's call is planned. I've written it, I've outlined it. So when we get to the top of the hour, what we're going to cover today is organized. I've got notes here. It's all organized and laid out. Yesterday's call was organized and laid out. I've already organized and laid out tomorrow's call. But I don't do that for every call. There are times we get on a call and it's like 7:20 and I'm going to open the Zoom and I'm like, what are we going to talk about today? And remember, I got to do two masterminds every single day. And there are days that I'm going, what are we going to talk about? And you know what? Those calls aren't very good. But do you know when I get text messages from you after calls, a lot of you will text me after a mastermind, James, that was good. That was really powerful. Do you know I get those on the days that I've prepared in advance?
Weird.
Yeah. The days that I prepare an outline. And it's not, I'm not spending hours on it. It's often 15 or 20 minutes just to organize some thoughts and a couple of questions and what chapter or what page from a book and something like that. The days that I do that I rely on my preparation instead of relying on my experience are the better days. Jess gave you both of those. She said, listen, number one, get a daily system. She recommends the tracker from the Inspire Collective. I'm being very transparent. If you aren't a member of the Inspire Collective, you are cheating yourself and you're being a FSBO in the business, and FSBOs make less. You're
Yep.
going, I'm going to figure it all out on my own. You need to join the Inspire Collective at jamesdshaw.com and use the tracker. Number two, quit relying on your experience and start relying on your preparation. Jess, thank you so much.
You're
Rhett
welcome.
Campbell, we haven't heard from you in a hot minute. And dude, I know you took some notes. Good morning.
Yes, I did, James. I got to get my son to school right at 7, so that's why I've not been on the recording, but I have went back and been watching it. The notes I took, when Jessica was talking as well, is I put there is no right time unless it's scheduled. And even if it is scheduled, it may be deviated from. The time is that the fact that what needs to be done is done in the time that you have allowed to be completed. It's going to look different daily. You need to give yourself grace and grind it out while having fun. Whether that be lead gen or genuine activities that need to be completed, between appointments, while waiting in your child's pickup line, waiting on others, quit scrolling and start searching through your phone who needs to be on the DTD2 or who weighs heavy on your heart. And when I've done that, I'm telling y'all, between appointments, waiting on inspectors, doing different things, rolling down the road, using voice to text, it pays off for me because I know if I don't, I normally have enough on my plate that I can't get it all accomplished. And I just want to be genuine with myself at the end of the day and look at my success list and be like, you know what? I may not have got it all done, but I got a lot done and I made progress of what needed to be accomplished. And I can live with that every day. Thanks, James.
You're welcome. Rhett, and good news for you is that we turn this call into a podcast every single day. So when you got to leave at the top of the hour to go take your son to school, you can listen to the podcast version on the way home from school. Isn't that great? Rhett, I appreciate it. It's good stuff. Now, I don't want us to get lost in the semantics of is it 9 units or 20 units or 30 units? You need to know what the number of units is. And also, your goal may not be 150,000. Most of you could probably do fine for less. But the point that we're making, don't get lost in the numbers. The point that we're making is that there is enough business for you if you're willing to put in the work. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, I'm out walking the dogs. The
I don't know
tracker
why you'd
has been.
apologize for that. I think your dog probably appreciates getting walked. So
They
I
do.
think
They
that's
love
good.
it. They love it. For me, the tracker has absolutely been a game changer. That and getting on Kristen Jungle's hourly power hour, so to speak. It's a little later, so it works for me and my schedule. But it is about that consistency and really staying consistent. And even though consistency isn't perfect, I'm nowhere near perfect, but at least just getting into the habit of consistency and getting in the habit of using the tracker. My business has exploded over the past year, and I really owe it so much to that tracker and really just getting down to business in my business.
Well, because what it does is it takes out the guessing, it takes out the decision making, because you look at the menu on the tracker. The way the tracker sets up is it's a menu of a whole bunch of different things you could do that have different point values, and you figure out what works best for me based on my time that I have allotted today. And
Right, and I didn't even really, I wasn't like, I have to get 30 points today. I just started out with, I have to use it every day. It just started as simple as that. It's you know, the, what is the book? Oh, Atomic Habits. He's like, the first day you want to go to the gym, just put on your gym shoes and don't go to the gym. All right, this is how it starts. And then you just ramp up and it's just been exponential growth. So thank you for that, James.
You got it. Yep, you got it. JJ Sanchez, good morning.
Hey, good morning, James. I agree so far with everyone that has been sharing. And yes, you need to get out of your head and get the activities accomplished that you need to work on, from whether it be plugging up holes in your systems and processes so that you don't have to worry about them when you do get busy. Also taking into account things that you would normally share with your sphere, whether it be your seller guidebooks, buyer's guidebooks. I've been taking those through the steps that that Lauren has instructed us by taking them through AI and making sure that the information that's found in those booklets are connected or going to connect you to your avatars. Also using your looking through the places that where people are raising their hands and you are able to go back and follow up and connect with them by sending them AM cards with their the RPR snapshot so that you can show the consistency and the value of what you're bringing to them. It's just you ignore what everyone else is saying and you're just digging in deep and going forward and moving through so that you can get those activities done on a daily basis.
You have to make the decision. Ian, good morning.
Hey, good morning, man. So I'm guilty. I don't put in 40 hours a week, not even close. But if you don't do that, you have to have leverage for somebody to do the work for you.
You hitting your goals, Ian?
Yeah, I'm ahead of pace, man.
See, that's the point, is that it's really about the activity you're putting in. That's why a lot of people brought up the tracker. The tracker has nothing to do with the number of hours you work. But what some of you are thinking about doing is getting out of the business and going and working 40 plus hours a week for somebody else, when if you put that in for you, you might get a significantly improved result. So just be willing to do the work. You know, if you think about it too, again, she used a number of 9 units in her post. I'm talking about Ashley Lund's post. I shared it inside the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group this morning. Ashley's in San Diego. She used a number of 9 units to get to $150,000 in net income after tax, after expenses, after splits, and so on. That's roughly 6 conversations a day, by the way, about 6 conversations a day. Most of you are not in a market that would allow you to make $150,000 net after tax, after splits, after expenses on 9 transactions. Most of you could do it for less than 20. Some of you, it would be more than 20. 20 units a year is roughly 12 contacts per day. 5 days a week, 50 weeks a year, 12 contacts a day. 30 units a year is 18 contacts a day. Now, if you go through and look at it, this is, by the way, from Anna Kruger's contacts to closing ratio that she's taught us. 6 to 12 to 18 is not that much of a difference, really. We're talking a matter of 30-minute increments in time to be able to get. So when you're looking at it and going, well, she's in San Diego, it must be nice. I don't give a flip where you are or she is. The path to the result is not as difficult as you think when you are purposeful in the activity and the focus. Cindy?
Hi, James. You know, that's so funny that you say that, that you fell into the habit of expertise, or, you know, that you know it and you have been in it a long time and you can do it. And when I started getting on this call, every day except for the day I had surgery and one other day, and Andy and we're in Arizona, and I'll pop up and at 5 in the morning you get ready, and it's those habits that I've created that you forget, that if you don't start those again, it starts the entire day with what needs to be done. And I feel that starting with the basic, people would say, why do you do that call? And it's, why would I not do the call when it sets the tone and the way that I've done? And for me, you know, I don't know everything. I never have claimed to know anything or everything by any means. And learning just the nuggets that I have picked up on this from other people that are amazing have been invaluable to my business. So there's always things to learn. And when you stop that growth mindset, I think it's when your business dies. So it doesn't mean that this is your every call is for everyone. But when you're learning and you're getting something from one like you at Phil Jones, and learning something, those awareness and those awakens that I call them in my brain or for my team that I am able to share to grow my business and to make those two extra calls to something else or to someone else on a path to where I'm going to retire in 5 years is so much closer and so much clearer.
Cindy, thank you. Anna Kruger, you get the last word before we got to get to the top of the hour and switch up the topic.
Yeah, thank you. I definitely have had days in the past where I've considered leaving the industry. And my leader one time encouraged me to calculate how much I earn on average per closing, divided by how many contacts it took to get there. And the lowest number I ever came up with was around $40. And I thought to myself, if somebody were to stand beside me and hand me $40 every time someone picked up the phone, would I continue to do this work? And how many of those people would I try to talk to per day? And I quickly realized there's nowhere else I could go that has the opportunity that there is here. But I had to switch my mindset from all the work it takes to get a closing to thinking of it as every single person I talk to is part of that. It's not that one person is the win and everybody else was a failure. It's all those contacts have a dollar amount assigned to them. And of course, they're humans and we care about them as people. But that just really flipped my mindset of the work it takes to get a closing and the value of every contact, even the ones who don't engage with me. And if none of them were ever less than $40 a person for me, why would I not want to talk to people? Why would I want to go do something else? So that just helped me. If that helps someone else, I sure hope that encourages you today.
I have a formula for that, Anna, that we should do. I did a thing at family reunion a few years ago with Jenny Wolek. That's when I got to know Jenny, called What's Your Database Worth? And I went through and did exactly that. You look at kind of what your average GCI is, right? Your commission, gross commission income per unit. And then you look at the number of people in your database and you figure out then how many deals should there be based on the MREA models. And then you go through and say, in order to get that return, I need to make so many contacts a day. And we went and did the math of every time you talk to someone, you get paid blank. The result of the conversation is irrelevant. You got paid X amount of dollars just for talking to that person, whether it's phone or in person or whatever. I just use phone as a placeholder. And Anna, we went and figured it out, and it's powerful. It's really powerful. We'll do that. I'll do that as a Wednesday webinar sometime for people so you can see, what that looks like. So thank you, Anna Kruger. Appreciate it. By the way, your class is so good, Anna Kruger.
I'm having so much fun teaching it, and credit to the people in the class. They're so engaged. We're having a great time and learning a lot and hearing lots of wins. So thank you for the opportunity, James.
You can still get in, folks. It's an ongoing thing. There's 18 on-demand sessions and the rest of her class. NoScriptSalesMethod.com. NoScriptSalesMethod.com. You should take it with Anna Kruger. Anna, thank you. Everybody else, thank you. Good morning, everybody. It is 8:01. It's your friend James Shaw. Thank you so much for choosing to be here this morning inside of Pivot Shift Ahead. We are live in the Facebook community now. We are live on Zoom, or you're watching the recording or listening to the podcast version. Thank you so much for choosing to be here. You know what I think? I think the people who participate in this on a regular basis are more likely to achieve their goals because you are focused on opportunity, possibility, strategy, and execution. You're getting inspiration and then you're going to work. You're part of a community that's focused on results. We have a culture of productivity, and all of those things matter. I think community does two things. It gives you hope. In other words, you recognize that you aren't the only one dealing with whatever you're dealing with, and it inspires productivity. It inspires you to get after it. And that's what we're going to do today because there was a survey that came out late last week from Resi Club where they asked agents all over the country who has the leverage right now. And every area of the country said buyers have the leverage right now, which is so different than what we had a couple of years ago. And so we're going to talk about strategy around that. Now, yesterday, we talked about helping your buyers understand what it means for them to have leverage and creating clarity and expectation around what that means. And so if you missed it, Go to anywhere where you can, find a podcast and type in Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind, and boom, you can listen to it. It's on my YouTube channel, and it's inside the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group. So you can go back and listen to it. Today, I want to talk about what it means for a seller when we enter a market where a buyer has leverage. What's their strategy around pricing? So we'll do that, but we're going to do two something goods. That's all we have time for this morning. And I'm going to pick and choose, and we're going to go Bree and Crystal. Those are going to be our two. So if I didn't call on you, put it in the chat. Bree, go first.
Thank you. So mine is, and I don't think she's on the call, but Dee Hudson, she reached out to me and said she was going to be in Charlotte for the Georgia Realtor Association Conference. So we had the pleasure of doing dinner last night, and I got to meet her, and it was just so cool to, meet her for the first time. And it just another nod to you, James, and all of us would not be here had it not been for you. So also my something good is for you and your leadership and just how you have created this thread and this community that has just created relationships that we will forever be grateful for. So I'm forever grateful for you.
I am forever grateful for you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Bree. And I'm glad you got to meet Dee Hudson. She is genius.
Mm-hmm.
And her system around seller seminars, I've seen others of you run it, and you're getting results from it. So go learn the plays and run them. Bree, thank you so much. Crystal McCall, good morning.
Well, good morning to you and all the wonderful faces I get to look at today. I have a really good something good. We hit our 52-year wedding anniversary, and I've done it being in this business for 45 years of that time. And then I have this wonderful organization to keep me going. Mm-hmm. It really makes a difference because, as you cited, so many people are struggling. I'm blessed. We're not struggling. We've just slowed down a little bit and we're working a little harder with great success.
Well, you've struggled before and you'll get through it. But here's the big question. Yes. What is the secret to 52 years of joyful wedded bliss?
Well, patience. He's very patient with me.
That's so great. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
That's good stuff. And you get to work with your daughter, who's as old as Bree, in the business, which is very exciting.
Such a blessing.
It is, no doubt. All right, let's get after it. So that survey came out. I posted it on my Instagram, James D. Shaw. So if you have a chance, go over to the Instagram, search James D. Shaw, and you'll see the study from Resi Club that talked about how buyers are the ones that have leverage right now. So I'd encourage you to go to James D. Shaw on Instagram and look that up. And so yesterday we did the piece about, well, what does that mean for a buyer if they have leverage in today's market? And how do we help them understand what that means and set the right expectations for them? Today, I want to talk about pricing strategy for a seller. So let me walk through what this looks like, and then I'll open it up for people to share. Because when the market shifts and buyers gain leverage, sellers struggle with what that means. And so let me ask you this question, put it in the chat. Who is in control in a market where a buyer has leverage? Who's in control in a market where the buyers have leverage? And I'm gonna watch the chat, and my guess is most of you are gonna get it wrong. And most of you are gonna say buyers. When the truth is, the seller always has control. The seller always has control in the market because the seller determines the list price. And we've got to teach our sellers that when a buyer gains leverage in a market, that yes, they are still the ones in control. But the challenge is that so many of them overprice. It's a natural result when we shift from a market that has sellers, where sellers have leverage, to a market where a buyer has leverage, that overpricing is the natural result. Well, our role in this, by the way, is not just to present the data to them and tell them their house is overpriced or they're wrong about the price. It's to influence them by, and you'll have to pardon me, but I have spent the last day with Phil M. Jones. So there's going to be a lot of Phil M. Jones in what I'm thinking about today, because after I left him, I went and worked on this. We've got to get curious. We've got to be curious about where they're going, why they're going there, and why they think their home is worth what it's worth and what they hope to accomplish from it. We've got to connect how they want a price to what they value most. And Phil taught us yesterday, he said, instead of trying to make your point, try to understand where the other person is coming from. Try to get just have a general understanding about what your seller is thinking. And the only way you can do that, by the way, is to, and this is big for Phil right now, he's talking about a lot. Stop giving advice, start asking questions. If we ask questions of our sellers, what do you think buyers are going to compare your home to right now? How long do you think buyers are going to wait before they move on to another option? What is it that you think a buyer expects in today's market, knowing that they have leverage? If we start asking questions of our sellers and we are curious about the answers, I think we have a better impact. The second thing Phil teaches us is that people do things for their reasons, not ours. Sellers think about the pricing of their home based on their story. And their story is made up of what they paid, what their neighbor got, what they think they need. We've got to go through their story and then collect that evidence from them through asking questions to help lead them to the right decision. We got to walk them through. There's a lot of Phil Jones we could do here. And then get out of this world of absolutes. Oh, we'll never sell it for that. That's an absolute. Instead of, well, what do you think would happen if a buyer sees your house and then a house that's like yours but's priced for 10% less? What do you think might happen there? And what that will do is create this tension. This is, again, it's all stuff I got from Phil. But the key point that I'd like to make today, and I want to open it up and hear you share, is that even when a buyer has leverage, a seller still has control. And we have to ask the right questions and lead the right conversations to help them get the outcome they want, reminding them they're the one with control. Now, Linda, when I asked the question, who has control in this market, you were the first one with the right answer, Linda Brennan. You said sellers, so you get the first word. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. And you always bring clarity, James, and you did it again today. So as you were talking, I realized we've been at this for a while in Florida in a buyer's market, and our sellers are starting to give up just like the buyers started to give up in the buyer's in the seller's market. They're renting instead of letting it expire and relisting. They're renting. So they're giving up. And the agents are giving up. They don't know what to do. So they just, oh, we'll rent it. So we need to paint the picture for our sellers, what's going to happen next year. Ask the questions, of course, but also take them into the market that we're going to be going into once that lease expires and educate them that way and help them make better decisions because they're just not informed correctly.
By the way, renting it out may be the best opportunity for them or the best decision for them based on whatever their situation is. And we can only know that by asking questions and being curious about where they are, what they hope to do, and where they're going next. So we've got to ask those questions. And then, Linda, you set them up that a year from now it might make more sense. That's a great share, Linda Brennan. Appreciate you. Tulio Pena, good morning in Colorado Springs.
James, I'm going to feed off of what you just said because I start every listing presentation with, why don't you just keep it and rent it? And that turns the conversation into them convincing me to sell it. That's not what I was going to talk about, though. What I am going to talk about
but that's
is,
a great question, by the way, that does set a stage and opens up some conversation. So I'd write that one down. Keep going, Tulio.
So, you know, forever, we were trained, at least I was, that you price a property based on the comparables. You do what appraisers would do. You look back the last 6 months, and you look in the neighborhood for homes that are similar to it. If it's a ranch compared to a ranch, if it's a two-story compared to a two-story. And I have changed that very much so now. Now it's, let's look at the actives. Let's look at the pendings in the last 30 days. And let's not just look at the actives in your neighborhood. I always ask my people, when you shopped, did you only look in this neighborhood? Or did you look in all the neighborhoods around this neighborhood? You know, did you look in even superior neighborhoods just to see, could I get into that neighborhood? Let's look at all of these places. Let's look at the pricing in those areas and price to where these people are also looking. I recently moved. I did this. And when I sold my house, I priced it below all of those. I pissed off a few of my neighbors, but I didn't care. I did it and I got what I wanted for my house and it sold in 3 days. And I'm happy where I am now.
It's good, Tulio. Terry, you're next in the Twin Cities. Good morning.
Good morning. It's been a long time since I've actually been excited about the pricing subject, which is really weird, but it's all been all the training that I've gotten from this. And if someone would put in the chat what it is in the name of the two people who did the Inspire call, that pricing call was a game changer, completely a game changer. I've never felt so confident in going into a pricing with my sellers. And I literally last weekend sold a condo in multiple condo, which is, you know, everything's going more down in multiples in 2 days. And then I have a listing that's coming up. It's going live tomorrow. And we've talked that whole pricing thing, and I've used the wording from the calls here that the buyers have the leverage and they're going, should we do a new roof? He priced it out and he's able to get a really good price for it. I've said, let's do a new roof. Let's make this happen. And he said, so do we up the price 10-15,000? I said, absolutely not. He said, I knew you'd say that. So we've had the conversations that was like so awesome. And I know we're going to get in multiples. I know it. I feel confident because of being here. So thank
you. Isn't it great when you can run your business in a way that you know you're going to get the desired outcome? And that's because you're committed to growing and getting better. What Terry is talking about is our call. It came up yesterday, too. Aaron Simons and Emily Baker were on the Inspire Collective back in April. It's one of the best calls we've ever done. So, folks, if you're an Inspire member, go in the portal, click Weekly Mastermind Replays, and scroll to April. It's right there. Download the app. Do you all have the Mighty Networks app on your phone so you can listen to it on the go? If you're not an Inspire member, get out your credit card and enroll, period, the end. JamesDshaw.com, and go enroll so you have access to this stuff. Terry, thank you. It's totally different running this business when you have a level of confidence around it. Julie Hess, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, James. I'm going to put this up to the window. Oh, well, where I am. This is a card that we made up, and it's all the 32 of Phil Jones. And at the bottom, it says, don't forget your calibrated questions. And those are your W's, who, where, when, how. And I have it right here on my little phone thing and color coordinated, and I look at it every day. And listening to you this morning, how in the world would you go out on a listing appointment and not take time to plan? And one of the things, and even like, you know, look at this and write out a few, you know, scripts or whatever we want to call it. And yesterday I did something different. And James, I heard you mention it the other day and it worked. I usually do the same thing Tulio does, you know, take actives and pendings. But what I did was really circle Mr. and Mrs. Seller. You see that they started at 300 and now they've been on the market for 32 days and notice that they've had a price and now they're down to 275. So I went through, like Tulio said, what's going on in the market. And I actually did what I call the three ups, took it, highlighted it, and showed it. And I use my pencil when I'm with them. I do the arrows in front of them. Like you'll notice this one, they had to do a price reduction. You notice this one. Did you notice this one settled for 25,000 more? What do you think that means? You know, and use the W questions. And she said, these people overpriced and now they're going in this direction. These people were strategic. And I said, absolutely, what would you like to do? And so we lower, you know, we put it at a price where we know we're going to get the activity. But you had mentioned something yesterday that I picked that up. Why aren't we taking that and showing them what is happening? And you want to be one of these three that are sitting, or would you like to be this one that the arrow goes upwards? So thank you for that. It was the first time I've done that in a long time because we've come off of, hey, what do you want to price it at? Whatever you say, we'll do. And now we have to be extremely strategic. And I used that yesterday. And what do you guys think? What makes sense? And they're like, it makes sense to start here. Great. Let's sign the paperwork.
Great conversation. Yeah. 3 years ago, Julie, our entire pricing conversation was sure. That was it. And we just put it in and saw what happened. Not that way anymore. And walking them through that's really important. Dan Tamarkin, good morning.
You know, James, with this changing market, what I found, because Florida kind of led this transitioning market, it was so important to understand perspective and understand where sellers were, because they're thinking one thing and you're realizing it's something else. And that's where I think the value is in having that conversation up front. I shared before that one of the tools that has really helped me out is just having a video that shares what is actually happening in the market so I can show them. I'm not telling them, I'm showing them. And the video really helped. And one other tool that no one's really talked about that I haven't heard anyone talk about is the value of understanding the supply and demand in your neighborhood. Tulio kind of touched on this maybe, but just understanding that, hey, I can go back and say, hey, in the last 6 months, we've been averaging about 2 to 3 sales a month in your area. And right now there's about 300 contracts. So with 10 houses on the market, you know, it means that there's probably 3 you're going to sell this month, 3 you're going to sell next month. If you want to sell in the next 30 to 60 days, we need to be among the top 3 to, you know, 4 homes in the market the buyer's going to choose from. And what I found as a result of doing that, this is really maybe the biggest success or testimonial to this approach, is that I've actually had, like, of the last 5 or 6 appointments that I've had, I've actually had 4 or 5 where the sellers actually said, hey, it looks like we should price it down here. And in some cases, it was actually below what I had thought. And then the one that they didn't do that, it was someone who said, you know, like, I don't really care what the numbers are. And he ended up listing with someone else for like $300,000 more than what I had pointed the data shows. So in either case, I won. I didn't waste time with someone that wasn't serious about selling, and everyone else has either gone under contract in a week or two, or they came out to resolve the supply and demand, and understanding that and explaining that was huge.
Dan, thank you. Appreciate that. That's good perspective. Irene, you get the last word this morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much, James. Honestly, this is a Hall of Fame call. My OP husband is standing beside me. He was saying, this is really good. And I said, yeah, like, I'm actually going to go back and make notes on what you said, James. There was a few questions that you said that were just classic. So I need to share something really interesting with you. I'm going on an odd listing appointment today. It's in our farm. And it's actually a house that was built by a real estate agent, and she's been trying to sell it on her own for quite some time. So when she called me this week, and this is not somebody that I know, she said, I'd like to talk to you about listing it. And I said, you know, thank you. I'm so honored. Why? And she said, because I see that you and your team sell everything in this area. Of course, that's not true, but it's great to have that mind share. And she said, I can't do this on my own, and I need your help. Now, this house is priced at $3.7 million. She is quite likely at least 10% overpriced or possibly more. So I'm going in. I've got all my questions prepped. Of course, I'm going to adjust them now with some of the ones from this morning. But it is just, it's so critical because, you know, some people might say, oh, my God, a $3.5 million listing just landing in your lap. Well, not if it doesn't sell, right? And you know, what's the point of having another sales side up there if you don't actually have a sold? So, you know, much like Cindy mentioned earlier this morning, you know, I also have people that ask me, like, why are you on this call every single day? And why have you been on it for 5.5 years? It's because of stuff like this. We can always learn. We can always get better. And if it helps you get one more listing, why not start your day off right with this call?
There's a lot there. I'd start with asking them, why are you not? I mean, are you so smart and you're hitting all your goals all the time and your business is running so perfectly that you don't ever need new ideas or inspiration? Why are you not? Number two, thank you for saying that this call is of value. There is a lot in here. And what I'd recommend you all do is later today, I don't know, Julie will get the podcast up here a little bit later today. Go back and listen to the podcast version. Wherever you find your podcast, you go search Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. And we've got now, 2 weeks or so worth of these up on the podcast side. And then here's the other one. Share it. Post it in your Market Centers Facebook group. Take the podcast version that posts later today and post it in your Market Centers Facebook group. Ask your team leader to email this out to every single person in your Market Center. Then teach them how to invite them to be on this call so they can participate in this too. Because in the front half of the call, we talked about what it's like to struggle and how you can get out of it. In the second half of the call, we talked about what the conversations need to look like with your sellers. Both conversations today are relevant to every single serious agent in the industry. They both are. And I appreciate you for being a serious one. All right, I got to kick it because I'm going to go hang out with Phil Jones again all day today. I appreciate all of you for being here. It's going to be a lot of fun as we move forward to tomorrow, which is, what does your lead gen need to look like in a market where buyers have leverage? That's what we'll talk about tomorrow. Thanks for being here. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration. Bye, everybody.